Now is the time to get involved with our exciting new event for 2023, the Environmental Packaging Awards. We're after your best examples of sustainable packs, from frozen food to soft drinks, household goods to confectionery. The awards take place on Tuesday the 13th of June at the Eastside Rooms, Birmingham. But hurry, deadline for entries is on Friday the 17th of February. For more details, go to www.environmentalpackagingawards.co.uk. Hello and welcome to the first Packaging News podcast. My name is Philip Chadwick, editor of Packaging News, and on this edition we'll be talking all things Extended Producer Responsibility, EPR as we'll refer to it. In the UK, the way in which packaging is being placed onto the market is changing, and here to discuss this and many other issues around EPR is Alice Harlock from the OPRL. She's Member Services Manager, and welcome to our first Packaging News podcast. Welcome our first guest. As I say, all things EPR we'll be talking about. Also because we linked up with the OPRL about a survey that we've done for the next issue of Packaging News and finding out from our readers about EPR. But before we go on to that, Alice, if you start by just asking us about talking about EPR. I mean, what should we be worried about right now? And is worried even the right word we should be using?
Can I just say thank you to having me, first of all? I feel very privileged to be your first podcast guest. It's a real honour to be here. EPR, I think it's really exciting. It's quite huge potential for us. I guess the thing a lot of people are thinking is they know it's coming, but they're not entirely sure what it's about. They're not entirely sure what their obligations are. That sounds like a very formal word, but what do they need to do to get themselves ready for it? In terms of what we know, it's going to change the way, packaging is managed. So we're looking at where's that packaging coming from and who's responsible for it, so that we know that producers of packaging are going to be effectively responsible for that. What can people start to be doing now? They can look to check to see whether actually they are obligated, so do they have a responsibility, and at what level do they have their responsibility? And obviously, from my point of view, I work for OPRL, so we deal with recycling labels. One of the big things that's coming in EPR is that all consumer packaging, so that's primary packaging and household packaging, is going to have labels on it showing whether it's recyclable or not. It's effectively what we're doing already, so we're really pleased that's there. And that's something that we know that people can start thinking about straight away. The deadlines for those are that it has to be in for all packaging except plastic films by 31st of March 2026. For plastic films, we've got an extra year because we know that there's support that's going to be coming through the consistency proposal to enable plastic films to be collected through household recycling collections. And so we've got until 31st of March 2027. But I guess we're really aware that it sounds a long way off, but in reality, it's not a huge amount of time. And retailers, brands, packaging producers have got so many other focuses and pressures at the moment that the longer you have to get those changes done, the easier it will be.
I think that's the interesting thing, is everything sounds like it's a long way away. And I always feel that when we've been writing and talking about EPR for so long, and it feels like it's been a bit like, oh yeah, that's coming. We don't know when, but it's sort of coming. And now all of a sudden we're 2023 and it's here. And there's kind of we've all just sort of woken up to that. And the government's really speeded along with it. We're talking about data collection, aren't we, at the moment? We're recording this in the end of January, but the data's now starting. In March it becomes legal for anyone who's placing packaging on the market to get their data in place. It feels as though, yes, things are a long way away, but actually you've kind of got a plan now, haven't you? It's about being organized and making sure, checking that you are obligated, but being organised in many ways.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, let's face it, the last few years, it's not like we've been sitting twiddling our thumbs. There's been plenty of other things going on at the same time. But I guess the thing that we want people to be aware of is don't just see EPR as a big scary monster on the horizon and think, oh my God, I don't know how to handle that. Let's try and break it down into manageable chunks, really, isn't it? So you're right, there's the data reporting that we need to look at. And you have to report. I think it's June or July is the first set of reporting that needs to be done. And then looking at the different kind of obligations. So what are the different responsibilities that you might have? Mandatory labelling, do you need to be able to put your labels on packaging? And obviously it's not just about having the labels on pack, but also understanding the recyclability of the packaging as well. You obviously can't just go and stick a recycle label on your packaging regardless. It's got to be correct. And that's obviously where we can help people with that too.
And also, I mean, talk about labelling, I guess we can also look a little bit as to why this is happening. And I often try and think, how do we get to where we are? I suppose many people trace it back to Blue Planet and sort of the plastics in the ocean and that and how government responded to that and how they then maybe looked at the PRN system as it is. By the way, I've just to our readers, this is UK based as
yes,
well. There might
absolutely.
Be some listeners from outside UK who are wondering, and I'm sure there are plenty of other initiatives going on globally, but in the UK specifically, government sort of came in around about 2017, 2018, said, right, we need to change how we design our packaging and try and prevent it from being being littered and being where it shouldn't be. And that's kind of driven, fair to say, this has driven this change, I guess, government sort of wanting to do something about this. And I guess their pitch is, I mean, certainly what Defra said the other day is that it's very much about, you know, edging towards circularity and a circular economy and sort of reducing and cutting out pollution, really. I guess is that the aim? And I guess from OPRL, that's
yeah.
kind of music to your ears. You
yes.
want to as much recycle as you can. Really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a number of things that they're looking to achieve through it. So recycling rates within England particularly, but kind of UK-wide, we've not been the most progressive. There are some nations that have been able to do more, but otherwise we've been a bit more stagnant and we've kind of ticking over, but we've not really seen the progress that we had, you know, maybe 10 years ago. So I think EPR is giving us that opportunity to really kickstart the process again and really look at how we can improve what we're doing. So one of the great things about EPR is that it gives us this opportunity to say to people, you really focus on the recyclability of your packaging, you know, the kind of the modulated fees aspect. So you will pay more if you have packaging that's less recyclable or not recyclable than you will do if you've got packaging that's highly recyclable. So that's really going to encourage packaging that is more recyclable, which will really help. But the other thing from my point of view, I mean, I started my career talking to people about home composting and then working with councils talking about recycling. And so many times I have spoken to people and they just say, but I don't understand. I don't know which I'm meant to be recycling. I'm not sure what I want to be doing with this. And so for me, it's about how we make it easier for us as consumers. You know, I'm talking about me and my family and the conversations we've had at Christmas when we were disposing of new stuff, saying, well, what do we do with this? How can we make that easier? If everything's got a label on it to say, yes, you can, or no, you can't recycle it, that's the first step. We then tie in with the kind of consistency framework and knowing that wherever you live, you have the same set of materials collected. It just hopefully moves us that bit further and really helps us progress.
I guess two aspects to that, and sort of, it's one is sort of looking at the beginning of the supply chain, but you talk about modulated fees and I mean, there might be people who feel that, oh, it doesn't affect me, I'm not obligated, I don't have to pay this. But actually, if you're a designer or manufacturer, you might not be obligated, but the way in which your customer will ask you to design your packaging is surely going to potentially change. So from a design aspect, a manufacturer aspect, that will change and how you go about things will change. So at the start of the supply chain, there's going to be a difference, a reset. And I guess modulated fees is a way of sort of, I wouldn't say nudging, but as it were, it's
yes.
kind of a sort of strong-arming people yeah. to go down a certain route. And then there's the end side of it as well, the public the citizens' side of things as well, to help them to understand what goes where, is it able to be recycled? And I think it's... Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing. I mean, starting from the design side of things, is that how you see it as well, that this is something that isn't just about those who are obligated, but it affects the entire supply chain as to how you're what you're designing at the end of the day and how you need to think about what you're designing, really.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, that if we're focusing on the recyclability, then there is going to be an increase demand or pressure to look at those more recyclable items. But I think it also gives us a bit of an opportunity to look at infrastructure that we've got at the moment. What are our systems? How do we kind of build on those, really? You know, we know that there are some instances where we might have packaging that can be recycled, but the infrastructure doesn't quite meet up. So it's how does that all come together? Like you said, it's that circularity piece, isn't it? Again, it's about how we join that all up.
And then moving to the public and the citizens and saying to them, you know, with a labelling system and also perhaps clearer communication and I guess consistency of collections, I think that's the other plank which maybe we haven't mentioned so far in the government's plan, is to make sure that it doesn't matter where you are, it's consistency in what you're recycling. It doesn't matter whether you live in a certain council, you know, there's hopefully no difference in what gets recycled and what doesn't. So it's kind of there's that, I guess, that you know, to educate the citizens and maybe also to help connect with them a little bit in terms of packaging. It feels like there is always a certain disconnect. This might be a bit of a leap to say this could massively help it, but it might go some way. I don't know.
It's a nice thought that we can make that connect. I agree, definitely. And I think actually that whole piece about the informing, engaging consumers is really, really critical in this as well. We always say to people, our labels are great about telling people at that point where they're looking to dispose of their packaging what they can do with it. But we can't expect the label to give them the full picture about where's it going, what's it get turned into, how does it all fit into the process. Obviously, that's where people like Recycle Now, the campaign that they have there, are really helpful. And so we need to make sure that big communications piece is there as well, just to engage the consumer and make sure we all understand, absolutely.
And making this sort of happen and work, is it fair to say that EPR has been very much a collaborative, sort of industry collaborative approach, really? I mean, do you feel that perhaps the industry has come together maybe like it's never come before? Is that fair to say? Was that pushing it a little bit farther?
I mean, there's certainly been a lot of times when I've sat on Zoom calls with loads of different stakeholders from across industry, and it's really been interesting to hear people's different points of view and opinions that people have. And I would say that DEFRA have acknowledged some of the points that industry have raised, and, you know, things have moved as we've gone along. I think there's still quite a bit more that we need to do to make sure that this lands and it works well from an industry point of view. And I know that DEFRA have looked at how they can engage more with stakeholders and with everyone that's going to be involved. So obviously they've got the newsletters that you can sign up to, the webinars that they're doing, and the business readiness forums, which are happening fortnightly at the moment. So they're certainly looking now at how they can start getting information out to people. And we do a similar thing for our members, so OPRL members. We're taking what we can and passing it on to them and making sure from a labelling point of view that they're aware of the pertinent information and they've got that ready to go, basically.
It's good that they have the webinars and the business readiness forums. I mean, there's been, and I think things are slightly changing now. I think the start of those forums, it didn't go down well with some. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of sort of uncertainty. From what I gather, that's slowly changing. But there is also a feeling that we are. I mean, the flip side of EPR is that the legislative landscape's changing at a time when we're in, you know, we have cost of living crisis, inflation, there's energy prices as well, and for businesses to get through that and get through a changing legislative landscape. Do you empathise to an extent? I mean, I understand that government wants to crack on with this and that it's been talked about for some time, but at the same time, this isn't an easy time to make these kind of big legislative changes for the UK business.
No, I totally agree with that, and we do, you know, we speak to so many of our members who, I was speaking to someone the other day who was asking me questions about how this relates to the plastic packaging tax, and is it the same thing or is it a different thing? And, you know, I think sometimes people feel they're being slightly bombarded with the amount of information that's coming on, and trying to digest it all and understand what's pertinent is really difficult. I guess that's one of the things when I said about that EPR being, it's not a big scary monster on the horizon. Let's try and break it down and think about, okay, so we know it's coming. What are the bits that we can focus on now and make it more manageable, and make it so that you don't just kind of try and break it down, like I said, into manageable chunks. That's the thing. And we've always been very keen, which is why we've changed the wording on our labels. So it now says recycle and do not recycle, giving our members as much time as we can to help them prepare. So they've got 3 years as it is now to actually start getting the correct labels on their packaging.
I think that's again, plan comes back to planning ahead, doesn't it, really, and to plan ahead as best you can. And yes, I think that the other suggestion is, oh, well, we need to try and pause this. We need to try and stop this for a little bit. I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. In fact, I think that the time of debating this is kind of over. It's happening, and I think that's where we are is where we are, really. And it's sort of a... Yeah, the government won't be for turning on this,
yeah,
to borrow that phrase, if you like.
I agree. I think you're right with that. I think this is happening. You're right, and we've got to accept it, and then think about how can we ensure that we are getting it right, and how can we manage the process to make sure that we can meet all the timescales that are coming up, and that we understand what's going on. So yeah, totally agree with you on that one.
Just as a little aside, has OPRL had any been approached by anyone sort of outside the UK at all, or in terms of projects or understanding what EPR might look like in other countries? I know the EU's got a lot of laws that it's looking at and passing at the moment. I mean, is it something that you're seeing outside the UK as well?
I would say it's a real challenge to some of our members when we look at EPR in different countries and the kind of the mandatory element that we're seeing. You know, obviously we know the UK mandatory labelling is coming. We're seeing the Tri-Man in France, and then other countries as well are starting to talk about mandatory labelling. And we've been having conversations with the different organisations, but it's really hard because quite often it's kind of being pushed through from a legislative point of view. And so it makes it very hard to kind of have that joined up approach. I mean, our dream would be you would have one set of recycling labels that would work globally. We're talking a long way off probably, but you know, it would make life so much easier if we had one label that was recognised around the world. We all knew exactly what it meant. And if you sold into lots of different markets, you could have that label on. It obviously relies on having consistent collections and recycling infrastructure globally as well. So it might be a pipe dream, but I live in hope. One day, maybe.
And just actually that sparked something else that I've suddenly realised is that, you know, making it a bit smaller, we do live in a country where there are actually four nations, aren't there, really?
Yeah.
How much of a factor is that in that we've got Scotland doing its own thing, Wales, Northern Ireland and England? Is that... I'm hearing a lot more about that at the moment, about the concerns over what's in one country is different to another. Is that concerning you and your members as well?
From an EPR point of view, not, luckily. And we also know that the consistency side, although the consistency consultation was for England only, all the nations have agreed that they will collect the same set of materials. So that, again, is another relief. I guess the things where it starts to get a little bit complicated is when we look at deposit return schemes, because there are some differences there which does make it a little bit more complicated. But for EPR, we're all right.
Return to deposit return schemes another day. It's a whole other area, really, as it were. And just a couple of final sort of final thoughts and discussion points, really. It feels to me like, yes, we talk a lot about the changing landscape, as it were, but do you feel once we've come through this and everything's settled down, what's your hope, as it were, for all of this? It's a big question, I know, what do you hope that we'll have achieved from all this? There does feel like it's a bit of pain that we all have to go through at the moment to try and sort of understand what the government wants and what DEFRA is after. But once we've gone through that pain, what do you think will come out the other side, if you like?
So I guess my hope, and hopefully this is what other people aspire to as well, is that we will have a system where consumers, citizens, we're able to understand what materials we can recycle and what we can't. We are getting those materials recycled, and that we've got good, strong markets for the recyclers as well, and opportunities for it to be used. And through that process as well, we're able to move into making sure that our packaging is made from good recyclable material. So we're really closing that loop. We're reducing the confusion that we have, and we're really making it an effective, and it's a real opportunity, I think, this for us. And it's quite exciting, if a little daunting. So that's what I'm hoping for out of it.
And just finally, as you talk about the recyclable element, there is obviously reusable, compostable, biodegradable as well. Are OPL working on labels for those types of packaging as well? And is there progress being made in that area?
Yes. Yeah, so we already have labels that can be used for packaging that can be refilled. So our members can put that on their packaging alongside the recycling labels for once that packaging has been refilled, the number of times it needs to be refilled, and the consumer needs to dispose of it. We're also doing some work at the moment with BBIA about compostable packaging, as starting off looking more at kind of the closed loop situations. But again, EPR and consistency, they provide a real opportunity for us, I think, when we start looking at compostable packaging going into households. We've got the mandatory introduction of food waste collections. So once we know everyone's got a food waste collection at home, we can then start looking at, well, where's that going and what packaging could possibly be included into that. So again, I think there's a real opportunity there for us too.
Great stuff. Well, I'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much, Alice, for joining us for our first podcast. And just say, if you did listen to this and you liked it, then please let us know. We'll hopefully do more of these in the future. As I say, we mentioned DRS, who knows, could be about that. We talk about design, might be looking at design in the future as well. There's all sorts of areas in packaging that we could talk about. So, but in the meantime, Alice, thank you very much indeed for joining me, and we hope to see you again very soon. But in the meantime, goodbye.